CFD Performance Podcast. I am joined by the greatest mustache and mullet combo in the field of nutrition and dietetics, Mr. Ryan Hassel, aka the Dojo Dietitian. Dojo, thanks for coming back on.
Hey, Jordy. Thanks for having me. How you going?
Oh, very well. Good topic we're going to talk about today. Again, I feel like I'm basing a lot of these topics based on our Q&A, and this is a question that we get blasted every single week. Every single week, people always ask me this question, and they always ask, how much protein do I need? And you would think it's quite a simple answer, right? Like, oh yeah, just go eat this amount of protein. But there are a few nuances and a few factors you need to consider when you're thinking about how much protein you actually need to have. And I think for the most part, people get really, really stuck in their own mind when they're talking about protein. They get really in the depths and they probably overthink it a bit too much. So what we're going to go through in this podcast is we're going to go through what protein actually does in the body, why it's important. We'll recap that. And then me and Dojo are going to give you guys some set numbers that you can take away from this and go, oh, okay, I am this type of person living this type of lifestyle. This is how much I probably should be having. Let's start off. Sorry, Dojo. Let's go in and just, can you break it down? Like when we start with this, break it down, like different guidelines. What have you heard? We've all heard this. There's some guidelines that come out really low. Some come out really high. Give us your thoughts. What have you heard over the time and what do you think of them?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the reasons why people get so bogged down by the numbers is there is so many different numbers that get thrown around out there. So you have places like national guidelines saying that we probably only need somewhere like around 0.8 grams per kilogram. Then you have other sources, you know, it depends where you look on the internet, whether it's like sports guidelines or like bodybuilding forums. If you can see numbers as high as like 2.9, over 3 grams a kilogram, or like per kilogram of body weight in terms of your protein requirements. So there's just like really varying numbers out there in terms of those protein needs. So I think before we even kind of like get into talking about like the specifics on where that comes from or like how much we actually need, it's probably good to just kind of break down why there's all these different weird ranges going on. So the one of the main ones here, especially for the two like high and low ends, is that they come from different perspectives. So when we talk about the lower numbers, like the 0.8 that gets thrown around by these national health organizations, that amount is basically the amount that we need to prevent any sort of like, diseases related to deficiencies. So like not having enough protein to actually like function, that's where those numbers come from. Now, the numbers that we see closer to the higher end are going to be more around actually being the amount of protein that we require in order to optimize our performance. But as we'll get to soon, it's not always a case of more is better when it comes to protein. So we'll have a bit of a chat about the specifics there. But it is important to kind of make that separation. So the numbers that are on the really low end that you hear about, they're generally around like preventing deficiency. But what we're going to focus on today is more around how can we optimize that protein number, that grams per kilogram, in order to really get the most out of your training and recovery.
Yeah, I think let's go through quickly before we get into all of that. A quick reminder of what protein does in the body. I'll just quickly recap it. We've spoken about it before. When you eat protein, like we've said before, like you eat protein, it's broken down. We know that proteins are made of these things called amino acids. They're the building blocks of these proteins. And what our body does is it takes these amino acids once it's gone through our esophagus into our stomach, we break it down, it's in our blood available for use. They take these amino acids and first and foremost, we use them to repair and build so many different cells. I think we think because of Arnie and the whole bodybuilding era that protein is just muscle. It is, don't get me wrong, it is, but there's so many other things protein's used for, you know, red blood cells, our hormones, our skin, hair, everything else. So those amino acids go and contribute to the repair and making of all of those new cells. The thing is, when we have too much protein or too little, we don't really have anywhere to store it in the body other than our storage sites in, say, our muscle when we're building new ones or using it for immediate repair of those cells. We can't really store it anywhere. So if we've got that excess protein, our body is very, very clever and it can convert it into carbohydrates and we can go use that for exercise or like our long-term storage mechanism, it stores it away as fat, converts it to fat, and then puts it away. So it's important to understand that our lifestyle is going to dictate what our body does with this protein. if you're a very, very active person and you're actively, say, building and breaking down that muscle, when you eat that protein that comes in, you're probably going to have a much higher protein requirement because your body is going to be saying, hey, look, we've got this stimulus where the dojo's in the gym and all he's doing is aggressive bicep curls. So we need to send these amino acids to his biceps to make them bigger and grow. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, if you look at people who say are struggling to even meet their calorie demands and say living in poverty or whatever, and they can't even get the minimum amount of this protein in, their body's going to again go into that catabolic state where it's looking for energy and breaking down that muscle and breaking down all these other cells to be using that as energy. That's a very, very different conversation of, okay, how much is the bare minimum that that person needs to stop those catabolic processes happening? So it's very important to understand that, and that your lifestyle is really going to dictate what number you land on for this.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess probably a good thing to touch on here is kind of go through some of the things that might actually change that number. So what things do athletes kind of have going on in their lives that might increase the amount of protein that they need when it comes to looking at these ranges? So a big one, and especially this is like relevant to a lot of people who might just be starting out, is like when you start a new training block, or even if you're an athlete and you're following like periodized training, maybe you're going into a period where you're focusing more on like strength and conditioning and building muscle, that increased intensity in training, the increased load on your muscles, the breakdown and stuff is going to then obviously, as you just mentioned, that's going to create this higher requirement for our body to use that protein in order to repair and recover and improve. So that's one way that we can do it. There's also the differing levels of intensity during different different like training goals. So say we have like a combat athlete, they might have like similar intensities or maybe even increased intensity, but their overall goal for a time period might be to lose weight. And then so we kind of have to take that into consideration as well, because while we're losing weight, we obviously want to be maintaining that muscle mass. We don't want to be, as you just mentioned before, cutting down into that catabolic state. And so sometimes during weight loss, we can actually require more protein in order to sort of conserve that lean muscle mass. Other times when we need more protein is going to be during times of infection and sickness, because our body's immune system relies really heavily on protein intake. And then also during injury. So say you have some sort of injury at training or even during a competition, in that time that you take off, some people might think they need to be eating less in order to compensate for the reduced activity. But protein, especially in cases of injury rehab and recovery, is really important to make sure you're getting adequate amounts there in order to facilitate that rebuilding process. Because a lot of the stuff, even if it's not muscle damage, things like bone, tendons, all of that stuff is going to require protein in order to facilitate that recovery. And then, so that those are kind of like the main factors that would affect an athlete's energy requirements, protein requirements. So let's have a bit of a chat, Jordy, about what is the actual magic number here? Like how much protein does someone need if they're an athlete?
Yeah, it's a good way to start, because the answer that we're going to give you, you're not going to like at all, because there is no magic number, right? And if you just think about what Dojo said, and you think of all those different states of conditions, you know, you could be an athlete that is perfectly healthy and training really hard. That person's going to have a specific number or a ballpark number that's going to be best for them. But then that athlete may get injured and that number changes, or they may get, you know, an acute respiratory illness or acute respiratory infection, and then that number changes again. And it's completely different and very, very circumstantial. But the numbers that we like to throw around, and I'm going to start with athletes because that's going to be most of you guys listening to this, is generally around 1.4 to 2 grams per kilograms. And you generally want to aim for the higher end of that. Like we said, protein in the body, we don't really have anywhere to store it. And if you have too much of it, yeah, the excess might go to carbohydrates and may be stored as fat if your overall calorie intake is excessive. But for the most part, it's very hard to overdo it on protein, especially if you're eating a good balanced diet and you're eating appropriate amount of calories for whatever lifestyle you're living. That's why we say to our guys, aim for that upper limit, especially if you're a combat athlete or someone who's in a weight category sport, or you'll just have body composition goals. Because again, we don't want to be going catabolic where our body's looking for energy and going to be taking away those amino acids out of our muscles in terms in to be able to meet their energy demand. So having those higher amounts of protein intake is going to be very, very favorable for maintaining that muscle mass. And for athletes, we know having that muscle mass is so, so, so important. It's so important for performance. It's so important for general health. Really, really important. I guess there's a couple of different situations or circumstances. I'll let you go over it, Dojo, where you can really think about, hey, this person may need more protein than this person over here, and they may need less.
Yeah. So if we look at two examples, like say there's person A maybe training, you know, as like a normal training routine after work every day in the gym, maybe five times a week. How much protein would they need compared to someone who's training twice a week? Well, the person who's only training a couple of times a week, maybe they've been doing that over a long period of time. But none of those things kind of apply there. So we're not seeing like a huge increase in training load. They're probably not going to be having to recover a lot between training sessions. Like they've got enough time and stuff to recover. They can probably get away with eating on the lower end of that protein requirement, closer to the 1.4 end, and just making sure that they're eating adequate calories in order to make sure that most of that protein is going towards facilitating muscle growth and synthesis and stuff. And they'll still be able to see consistent improvements from the combination of exercise and that protein intake without having to hit these like huge numbers. Now, on the other side of that, person B who's training twice a day, they're an athlete, they've got like morning sessions, afternoon sessions, they're really having to recover well. Like the muscles are having to basically repair themselves between sessions. And there's going to be a really high demand on the body. Those situations, that person is probably going to be looking more towards the higher end, and especially for like, you know, preventing things like injury and stuff from just like muscle wear over time, they're really going to be wanting to eat closer to that 2 grams per kilogram with that really high frequency training routine. But so like, I guess you've kind of talked about it already, Jordy, here. The thing to remember here is that having more protein is not going to just equal more recovery, more gains, more progress. The studies have shown pretty consistently that 2 kilogram upper limit, while it's not going to hurt you, you're just not really going to get anything back from it by going way over that. So say like you could technically eat like three grams per kilogram, 4 grams per kilogram, if you're training really intensely, but the return on that excessive protein intake is going to be not much more than if you were just eating that 2 grams. So like more is better if you're training more up until a certain point, and that point is around 2 grams per kilogram. Anything else after that is going to be used for energy, as you said, or stored as fat. So I guess that kind of summarizes the different scenarios there in terms of the actual numbers. Now there are a couple of other things that we commonly talk about when it comes to protein. So I'll hand that back over to you, Jordy. Like what can someone do that's listening in to really make sure they're getting the most out of the protein that they're eating?
Yeah, these are things that I think you need to understand. First and foremost, your overall calorie intake is absolute king. I think when we talk about muscle building or muscle maintaining and protein and whatever else, we can often forget that. You need to be aware of that. Like you can have the best protein, you can follow all of these rules that me and Dojo are about to say now, but you could not have adequate energy and your foundation will just absolutely fall apart. So first and foremost, make sure you've got an appropriate calorie intake for whatever your lifestyle, fitness or performance goals are. But like we said, we need to consume a certain number of overall protein, like Dojo said, whether that's anywhere, you know, on the very, very low end of 0.8 grams per kilogram, all the way up to 2 grams per kilogram. What we're finding consistently throughout the evidence, and something we've seen over the last decade or so, is that one thing that seems to be extremely important is this idea of what we call protein pacing. And what that means is just distributing your protein evenly throughout your day. And what that can look like is eating every 3 to 4 hours, making sure you're getting good protein sources in. The next thing to consider on top of that is the quality of the protein that you're getting in. And this is something we've spoken about in depth in the protein quality episode that we did a while back. So go back and listen to that. And this is the main point of argument when people are anti-vegetarian or they don't love plant-based sources of protein, that's a whole lot of hoo-ha. You absolutely can get your recommended amounts. But remember from that episode, we spoke about making sure we're hitting all of the essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of these proteins. Our body needs these essential amino acids from our diet. So when we're eating every 3 to 4 hours, it's hugely advantageous to make sure we're getting quality protein sources that provide all of those essential amino acids, whether that be from animal sources, whether that be from plant-based sources, doesn't really matter. As long as you're getting your right number for your body of those essential amino acids every 3 to 4 hours, that's what's going to be most important. The next thing that you can talk about is the timing of protein, especially if your goal is to build more muscle and is to, or even maintain that muscle after you've done a workout. We know post-exercise, we have this anabolic window. And on top of that, our muscle is more prone for muscle synthesis. It makes a lot of sense. Dojo's gone into the gym. He's done an obscene amount of bicep curls. His biceps are prone to taking in that protein to grow. So it's a good idea in that anabolic window to put those nutrients back in, especially if you're going to train again that day, or if you just want to make the most of this process. But first and foremost, I think we're going to recap that overall calories is extremely important. Make sure you're in the appropriate calorie range to make sure you're hitting that number, whether it be between 0.8 grams per kilogram or all the way up to 2 grams per kilogram for your lifestyle and your goals. Making sure that you've got high quality protein sources, animal or plant, does not matter. Just make sure you're hitting the right amount and getting those essential amino acids in. And then doing the protein timing or pacing throughout the day every 3 to 4 hours. And if you're going to be working out, realistically, if you're going to be working out and you're following that protein pacing protocol, you're probably due to get some protein in before and after your workout, which will work out perfectly if your goal is muscle growth.
Yeah, I think the muscle protein synthesis window there gets exaggerated a lot. Like you hear people having to like rush out of the gym and smash a protein bar within like the first 5 minutes or whatever. That window, there's like arguments about how long it lasts, but the consensus is it's usually a couple hours. So as long as you're distributing that protein, you're going to be hitting that timing already. But yeah, I think that's a really good summary, Jordy. Thanks for that. And that's pretty much everything to do with how much protein you really need. So if anyone has any questions around maybe specifics towards their needs, like depending on their you know, their individual training or lifestyle stuff, feel free to shoot us a message, leave a comment, and we'll get back to you about that. But I'll hand that back over to you, Julie.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. If you like this episode and you enjoy our content, then you will absolutely love our new TFD Performance Hub. Our first course on the hub is the Performance Nutrition for BJJ course, which is perfect for grapplers looking to master their nutrition. And if you follow the link in the description, you can even snag 40% off that course. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @the_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.